Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for your safe space. Shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, my friends and my enemies, you are wrong, and I am right. Greetings. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIDSOC.com, and the interwebs. I have been on the internet since 1999. I've been podcasting for 11 years. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect, comes in on and destroys most of the motherfucking statist all around the world. Yep, nuclear-tipped, stupidity-seeking cruise missile. It finds the statist, it kills them. If there are survivors, we mow them down with the machine gun, because of course you can wait till night falls. And all things that are radioactive, we glow in the dark. We know that because everything we learned about science, we learned from watching Star Trek. And I believe in science! Yeah, of course you do. Why do you constantly reject natural selection if you believe in science so fucking much? Did I remember to bring... Ah, goddammit! Randy! I forgot! What did I do with those other two articles? What's your fault? Of course it's your fault. No, it's all good. Ow, ooh, ow, damn, I found them. Well, it is your fault because you're the woman. It's always the woman's fault. You know this. All right. If you want to send us an email, it's God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com. Twitterverse, CYNLIBSOC. And there we go, it was me moving the microphone without fucking things up. Okay, deep breath. So, this is a time of year when, oh, did I mention that in the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy, and it is her fault that I forgot to bring those other two articles up here, because as we know, it's always the woman's fault, because patriarchy. Patriarchy is, of course, the explanation for everything. This is the time of year when I, whoa, fuck. All right, whoa, fuck. Actually, I fuck all times of year. This is the time of year when I spill hot tea on the floor, because I'm a fucking idiot. There we go. Ooh. Shit, now I made a clean space on the floor, and I'm going to clean the whole thing. Motherfucker. Cleaning. Speaking of cleaning, this is the time of year when I get some serious time off, and since it's cold and shitty outside, and I can't go trail running, and I can't go bicycling, I mean, I could, but I don't like doing that shit in the ice and the snow, because I'm just not into the cold. I'm from Texas. I don't fucking do snow and ice. Just don't fucking do it, right? I'm in Colorado. Everybody, yeah, when you're from Colorado, the first two things everybody wants to know is, do you ski, and can you get me some dope? No, I do not ski. Well, I have gone snowshoeing, and I mean, it's hiking in the snow with snowshoes. That's fun. I like snowshoeing. Do not ski. And I'm not going to go get you any dope. You can go get your own fucking dope. Because I don't smoke dope, and I'm not going to go get you some fucking dope. So there. For all those of you who wanted to ask me those questions, now you know. This is the time of year when I'm trapped indoors. Well, not trapped, but I just don't want to go outside. And so I tend to do a lot of cleaning. And here at the studio today, we have begun the purge. It's not the movie The Purge where, oh my God, there's no government for a day and whatever. I mean, who gives a fuck? It's a movie. Here's something interesting. So Stefan Molyneux did a video about the new Star Wars movie, and he talked about how it's feminist propaganda, which we know it is. All right, see, Randy, now I'm already off topic, and I need a piece of paper. Let me write this down, because I know I can't trust you. You're a girl. All right, Stefan, Star Wars video. If I remember, I will link to it in the show notes. And the last I looked at it, the top-rated comment on the video was some idiot who said something to the effect of, "It's just a movie." Because Stefan talked about how in the movie you have this female character who's perfect at everything. You know, she's never been trained, but she's an expert sword fighter. She gets on the Millennium Falcon, and Han Solo can't fix the Falcon. And even though she's never been on the ship in her life, she fixes it. And of course, Han Solo's been flying the Falcon for, what, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? You know, and so just the whole movie is showing how men are incompetent, but she's this woman, and then she can do everything. She's the ultimate fucking, you know, femistatist. She is the you-go-girl empowered woman. And he contrasts this, and other people have made these same points too, especially this next one I'm about to make. This one's been made by a number of people in the manosphere. In the original trilogy, the one that didn't suck, Luke Skywalker starts knowing nothing, and before he becomes good enough to confront Darth Vader and the Emperor, he has to, you know, train and to learn, and he makes mistakes, and he gets his fucking hand cut off because he's and all this. And so, you know, Luke Skywalker has to go through a process of learning and building and becoming and increasing his skills. And it's this voyage, which is, of course, what makes stories interesting. A good story presents us with a protagonist who has to get somewhere, achieve something, do something. And so to get from where they are to that end result, they have to go through a process, right? You have to learn skills. You have to do things. You have to fail. And in the new Star Wars movie, of course, it is feminist propaganda. It is you go, girl. The chick walks on the screen and she's good at everything. There is no journey for her. And this goes back to what I've talked about many, many times about how women cannot distinguish reality from fantasy. Women see movies like this and they think, "Oh my God, you go girl. Oprah said I can do everything and I can. I don't need to work. I don't need to train. I don't need to fail. There is no journey for me. I have a vagina. I came out of another vagina and I am instantly perfect, competent, capable in any way whatsoever. And I don't have anything to learn at all. I'm perfect." And certainly there's more to the criticisms Stefan lays out besides that. Well, I'm contemplating my hot tea. Oh, that's good. Honeybush hot tea. The top comment on the video was some idiot who said something to the effect of, "It's just a movie." And again, here's how you dispel this sort of nonsense. Okay, well, if it's just a movie, and it shouldn't matter that it's feminist propaganda, because it's just a movie, right? What about Birth of a Nation? Is that just a movie? For those of you not familiar with Birth of a Nation, it's a old black and white film. I don't remember when it was made. Basically, here's the basic plot. There's an evil black person in town who wants to have sex with a white woman, and the Ku Klux Klan has to come to the rescue and put the uppity black person down. It is a Ku Klux Klan propaganda film. It was distributed nationwide in theaters. Now, is that just a movie? Well, of course not. If you showed that to anybody today, they'd have fits and convulsions. So why is it that a Ku Klux Klan propaganda film isn't just a movie, but a femistatist propaganda film. Well, that's just a movie. Elaine Boozler is not happy with the U.S. is not happy that the U.S. Army won't put women on the front lines. Quote, they don't know if we can fight, she says. Quote, I think we can. All the general has to do is walk over to the women and say, you see the enemy over there? They say you look fat in those uniforms. Now, I don't know who Elaine Boozler is, but I think it's kind of funny, but isn't that sexist? You go, girl! Anyhow, we're cleaning things out, and I'm gonna blow through a whole bunch of really small random things, kind of like, well, never mind. I was gonna say kind of like female brains. I'm gonna small and random, the female brain, small and random. Doing some cleaning up. I'm purging because I have all these stacks of material I want to talk about. I'm getting rid of some shit, organizing some shit. I'm gonna make some progress. I say that all the fucking time, and we all know I'm a lying motherfucker. I'm also going to need to get my ass to work on what I will call my more original philosophical podcast, because typically, you know, a cast like this, I got some shit. This is what I call a reactionary podcast. I read some shit and I respond to it. I react to it. As I've said before, I like doing this. I have a great time doing this. This is fun. I think it's good. It's educational for me and all that other shit. It's entertaining for you, I hope. But I have a shit ton of notes of just original, and I say original like I invented this. And you're like, I'm the first person who's ever thought about the fact that somebody who isn't the government could build the roads. Right, now, not original in the sense that no one's ever thought of it before, but original in the sense that it's not me responding to something I'm reading or a book or something like that, where I'm going through a process of starting, you know, kind of like Luke Skywalker starts at A and ends up at Z and does this traveling in between where he learns and grows, because, you know, he's not a you go girl feminist and he didn't just fucking spring from the womb knowing how to use a lightsaber and how to repair starships. So anyhow, I'm going to work on those. You've heard that lie before. Speaking of things I need to remember to do, we talk about this before I forget. Books. I finished the book Silent Night. I forget who wrote it. If you go to the website, if you go to the reading list, it's listed on there. It's about the World War I Christmas truce. It was a little dry reading, but it was very interesting because, again, it's to write the book. It didn't particularly have a story start to finish. The author, you know, did a lot of research and he got all these tidbits from here and there. So it's all these very small vignettes of what happened at different places when the truce was taking place. But it's an absolutely, it's a really good book in the sense that I think it goes to show, what in the fuck is that? All right. Speaking of truth. Ooh, squirrel! It shows something I've talked about a lot, and other anarcho-capitalists have too, is that human beings, when allowed to pursue their own nature, are not particularly interested in violence. You've got all these men on the front, in the trenches, they're supposed to be out there killing each other. And instead, because they share a common heritage, because they all shared this concept of Christmas, which, again, I'm not a Christmas guy. I know Christians, the Christmas, birth of Jesus, co-opted pagan holidays that you atheists can't share. What the fuck ever. Nobody gives a shit, okay? Shove all of that just up your ass for a minute and go fuck yourself. You had a bunch of people that, even though we were fighting each other, had a common heritage. They all were people who celebrated this holiday, Christmas. And this is, of course, why it's important to remember that, as the Chateau Heartise always says, proximity plus diversity equals war. If this would have been a war of, say, for example, Christians versus Muslims, this would not have happened because the Christians may have wanted to celebrate Christmas, but the Muslims wouldn't have given a shit. They'd have shot at the Christians on Christmas, and vice versa. When the Muslims are celebrating whatever holidays they have in Islam, I don't know and don't care, the Christians would have been like, we don't give a fuck. We're going to shoot them because their guard is down. And that's why diversity plus proximity equals war. But when you have people with a common heritage and they're all around each other, even when they're at war, the natural tendencies of humans is to not kill each other. The natural tendencies of humans, if there's not some outside stimulus like religion, government, the state, prompting them, prodding them, instigating them to kill each other, the natural desire of humans, because we are social animals, is to get along with each other. And so here in World War II, you had all of these men up and down the front, coming out of their trenches, talking to each other, playing games with each other, exchanging presents, exchanging gifts, exchanging food, you know, allowing enemy soldiers to come behind their lines, all of this other stuff. And so when I hear the stupid people, the statist, telling me that humans cannot coexist without the state, this is the sort of thing that provides me the evidence that it's not the state that allows people to coexist. It's the state that prevents people from coexisting. And of course, that's why the statist wants to perpetuate state, among many reasons. There are many reasons, not just one. Is that, of course, the statist thrives on hatred and conflict because the statist needs the state to provide for them. But of course, if there's not enough hatred and conflict to make people afraid, people would reject the state. Anyhow, Silent Night, it's the book, worth reading. You should check it out. The other thing I'm reading right now is a book called How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, The Past, Present, and Future of a Multi-Billion Dollar Franchise by Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor is apparently a writer for Mashable, which I can't imagine too much that's gayer than the Mashable website. But in spite of that, and in spite of some of his hokey writing, and in spite of some of his attempts to insert himself into the story, where it's like, no one cares about you, I want to read about Star Wars, the book is actually really good so far. I'm on page, where am I? I'm on page 108, and the Star Wars script isn't even remotely close to being solidified yet. And Luke Skywalker is the bad guy at this point, but he goes through like everything. It's really detailed and it's fascinating. Like, we find out where Wookiee comes from, the name of the race Wookiees. We find out where R2-D2 comes from. We find out where Han Solo's last name comes from. It's a really fascinating book, and it's also a great look at how Lucas went through this process, went through this journey of starting with just these vague ideas and going through the trials and the tribulations and the learnings and the failures and the successes that allowed him to eventually create Star Wars, as opposed to, you know, just women who just, they spring out of the vagina and they already have a movie script already written because you go, girl. It's a really good book so far. I can highly recommend, if you're a Star Wars fan, you should definitely be reading. I'm not even a giant Star Wars fan. I mean, I like the original Star Wars. As we all know, my allegiances are to the original Star Trek. I love original Star Trek. How many times have I seen every original Star Trek? I cannot even count. I still need to do the episode about original Star Trek fan films on the internet, because there are some good ones out there that you should be watching. And some of them have some really hot babes in them, too. And that's what it's really all about, is hot chicks in those original series Starfleet uniforms. Oh, God, dude, talk about, oh, man. A hot chick wearing the Starfleet uniform from the original series. Oh, my little heart just goes crazy. All right, anyhow, if you're a Star Wars fan, you definitely should be reading this book, How Star Wars Conquered the Universe. It's fairly recent, too. When did this come out? Hang on, let me find the copyright page. Yeah, this came out in 2014. So it's not ancient. So I think it actually goes into a little bit of what was happening with the new trilogy. And I think the Disney buyout is covered in here. Obviously, I'm not at the end yet. Anyhow, so there's that. Star Wars, originally inspired by Flash Gordon. Lucas originally wanted to remake Flash Gordon. Was part of where all that came from too. So it's a fascinating book about the creative process and everything that goes into it. You know, like I said, if you're a white man, now if you're a woman, you don't need a creative process because you go girl, you just spring out of the womb, and thanks to the magic of osmosis, you instantly know everything you need to know about life because Oprah just puts that in there. And you can fucking use a lightsaber, you can repair starships, you can do fucking anything because vagina. All right, let's get some shit out of the way here. Proved at last, men really are idiots. This is from the Los Angeles Times. Finally, a scientific explanation for Johnny Knoxville, he of Jackass fame and the fans that keep him at his dangerous and moronic antics. Male idiot theory. New research has rigorously tested male idiot theory, which posits that, well, men are idiots and are driven to take ridiculous risk despite the clear prospects for self-harm and for no defensible reason. Newly published by the venerable British Medical Journal, the landmark study has shown that male idiot theory holds up under scientific scrutiny. The latest BMJ inquiry plumbs an important but little-known database to assess gender differences in an individual's likelihood to engage in profoundly idiotic behavior, the Darwin Awards. Winners of the Darwin... So in other words, they didn't really do any research. All they did was go on the internet and look at the Darwin's Awards webpage. So this is what passes for medical research at the British Medical Journal. Just tossing that one out. Winners of the Darwin Awards, which are handed out at random times and almost always posthumously, must be found to have died in the conduct of stupidity that is so stupid, pointless, and predictably self-destructive that they can truly be said to have done humanity a great service. Yes, that's called natural selection. We should be encouraging this, not discouraging this. Since 1995, 413 nominations have been forwarded to the Darwin Award Committee. 332 have been independently verified and confirmed by the awards panel. The study's four authors, all male, found that 318 awardees met their study's eligibility requirement. A lopsided 282 of those awardees, that's 88.7%, were male. Okay, so again, let's analyze the so-called science here. Again, there was no research, they just got some information off of a website. But that's fine. So we have now drawn a conclusion about the entire population of the planet, both male and female. We have concluded that men are idiots and that women are not idiots. Based on a sample size of 318 people. So, science, this is science. We are making a conclusion about 7 billion people based on a sample of 318 people. Yes, this is obviously holds true. Now, aside from that, I would agree that most people who do really stupid things are men. I say that not because I went to the Darwin's Awards website, but I say that because I have life experience and common sense. And there is a reason for that. Part of it is because men are dumb, as was discussed, this came up back when I did the podcast about the anarcho-capitalist, femistatist, Russian cunt Princess Julia, where she and her beta male Carlos talked about the fact that if you look at IQ testing, you see that the least intelligent people on the bell curve, the least intelligent people say things like bell curve on their podcast. On the bell curve of IQs, you see that white men are predominantly either down near the bottom or up near the top. So yes, there are a lot of very dumb white men. Many of them are in prison where they're knocking up the female prison guards. And of course, the Russian princess cunt Julia also told us that story about the woman who got pregnant by the prison guard, but her boyfriend was paying for the children. And she, of course, explained to us how that is really good mating behavior and how this woman was a winner. So yes, there are many stupid men out there. If we didn't have the state to protect them from their stupidity and keep them alive so that they would keep getting welfare and keep voting Democrat, there would be fewer stupid men, because they would kill themselves off and not pass on their DNA. But we also need to consider that part of the reason why men are the ones doing all of this stupid stuff is because, quite simply, men do stuff. So do women do things like stick bottle rockets in their assholes and shoot them out of their butts, which is something that you can find videos on YouTube of boys doing. I hesitate to call them men. You know, do girls do stupid shit like, I don't know, try to ride their mountain bike off of a 20-foot cliff? Right? No, generally they don't. And it's not so much because girls are so much smarter. It's more because girls don't really do anything, right? What girls walk their dogs, they put on makeup, they take selfies and post them on Facebook, they watch Netflix. Oh yeah, and they're foodies. They eat food. Girls don't really do anything. And while, yes, I totally believe that boy stupidity does account for part of this, boy stupidity accounts for all the dead boys who died of their own stupidity. The lack of girls dying because of their own stupidity isn't because girls aren't stupid. It's because girls don't do anything. It's really hard to kill yourself when your entire life revolves around walking your dog, putting on makeup, posting selfies, eating food, and watching Netflix. There's not a lot of opportunity for natural selection there. Lawmaker gets anatomy lesson. Boise, Idaho. An Idaho lawmaker received a brief lesson on female anatomy after asking if a woman can swallow a small camera for doctors to conduct a remote gynecological exam. The question from Republican State Representative Vito Barbarelli.
Oh my God!
Vito Barbarelli. came as a House committee heard nearly 3 hours of testimony on a bill that would ban doctors from prescribing abortion-inducing medication through telemedicine. Dr. Julie Madsen was testifying in opposition when Barbarelli spoke. Madsen replied that it would be impossible because swallowed pills do not end up in the vagina. Quote, fascinating, that makes sense, unquote, Barbarelli said amid the crowd's laughter. Remember, folks, you voted for this is democracy. These are the people you have elected. Oh, you fucking statist. You're so fucking pathetic. You wonder why, but great one, why do you hate statists so much? I don't know. I can't figure it out. People actually elected this ignorant motherfucking piece of shit to make their decisions for them. And he thinks there's a connection between a woman's mouth and her uterus. A direct connection. I mean, obviously there's a connection. They're in the same body, bloodstream, nerve. You know, you can't... I wonder if he thinks women could get pregnant by swallowing cum. These are your elected representatives. This is what democracy has brought you. Yes, democracy. Wonderful fucking political system. God, I can't figure out why there's problems in this country. Baffled. I'm so baffled. Democracy. Here's a good one. California officials powerless to stop attorney's proposed anti-gay initiative. I don't know how old this is because there's no date on this thing. I just cut it out. But I'm pretty sure this is close to a year old, if not even older. Over the decades, California, colorful blah blah blah, proposals, initiatives seeking to allow school children to sing Christmas carols, require drug testing of state legislatures, that'd be legislators, that would be a good law, to outlaw divorce and divide California into six states. But the proposed initiative, submitted by a Huntington Beach attorney, that would authorize the killing. Let me read this again. Proposed initiative submitted by a Huntington Beach, it's in California, Californians can't stop making attorney, he's a lawyer. Remember, lawyer, oh, lawyers are so, lawyers care about poor people. So, he's a lawyer from California, Huntington Beach attorney that would authorize. That means the government would give permission. That's what authorizing is, right? You're a slave. You need permission from the government. The government's going to authorize the killing, right? Killing, that's killing people. That's violation of the non-aggression principle, right? Not killing in self-defense. Killing, right? Of gays and lesbians by, quote, bullets to the head or, quote, any other convenient method. Now, I'm assuming this article is not a joke. I don't have the entire page of the newspaper to make sure this isn't like on the humor page. So I don't know. This could be a joke. Huntington Beach lawyer has submitted a ballot proposal initiative to authorize the killing of gays and lesbians by a bullet to the head or any other convenient method. And of course, there are people who are upset about this. Now, here's the problem, my friends and my enemies. This is democracy. If this gets on the initiative, it should get on the initiative. Democracy. And if enough people vote for it, then you kill them. Not the people who voted for it, the gays and the lesbians. And if enough people don't vote for it, then you don't. But this is democracy. What exactly is the problem here? Democracy. Get it out there for a vote. It's the greatest political system ever. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. So you're gathering signatures. Online petition. Oh, yeah. So there's 17,000 people signed a petition against it on change.org. Who cares? Yeah. David Garcia, director of the policy for the Los Angeles LGBT Center, said that anybody who signs McLaughlin's proposal and calls for the murder of gay people should expect that, quote, their names are going to be made public, unquote. Again, it's democracy. I don't see what the big deal is. Put it on the goddamn ballot. If enough people vote for it, then fine. But again, why do you really think that would get passed? I mean, as far as I know, there's not a bunch of gay people in California getting shot right now, so I assume it didn't happen. Arizona baby born 7 weeks early thrives with heart transplant. I just have one, I'm not reading this, I just have one question. So the baby was born 7 weeks early. Wouldn't it still have been legal, permission from the government, to abort a baby 7 weeks before it's born? Why are we wasting money and resources giving a heart transplant to an unviable tissue mass? If a baby's born 7 weeks early and doesn't have a heart that functions, isn't that just a natural abortion? Just throwing that out. Why? Oh, you know, and the why are all the fucking resources, the pollution, the global warming that was caused by all the resources that go into keeping this unviable tissue mass alive? Gosh, just baffled by this. All right, speaking of keeping people alive, right? Holy shit, are we really 37 minutes into the cast? All right. I have here. Well, let me. Oh, fuck. Yeah, let me do this one. This is a book. I did not read the book. I did spot reading on the book. Again, for those of you new to the cast, spot reading, when I get a book, I take it, I throw it in the bathroom. Every time I go in, I take a shit. I pick the book up and I open to a random page and I start reading. And either it captures my interest or it doesn't. That's what I call spot reading. If I do like 5 spot reads in a book and nothing, it's just like not catching my interest, I don't bother reading it. Whereas if it does, like the Star Wars book that I'm reading right now, I spot read that and I'm like, this is a shit. I like stopped what I was doing later on that night after just 2 spot reading sessions and started reading the book. So that's my test to determine if I'm going to waste part of my finite lifespan reading a book. This book is fucking 450 pages long. It's called Countdown by Alice Wiseman. It's our last best hope for a future on Earth. And it's written in the style of the, what's that moron's name? Paul Ehrlich books, where overpopulation and we're all going to be starving to death in the streets because there's too many people, and it's just the same old boring shit. Anyhow, I marked a couple of pages in here. I want to read some passages from this book and make fun of them, and then I'm going to let go of it and never speak of this book again in my life because it seems pretty terrible. And like I say, it's just the normal. There's too many people on the planet Earth. People shouldn't reproduce. But, oh, I'm still going to have children because I'm white and I'm special and I believe in tolerance and diversity. And, of course, I recycle my plastic bottles so my carbon footprint doesn't actually contribute to global warming, even though I buy a new iPhone every year because I'm too fucking stupid to use a PC. And you see, yeah. All right. Dun, 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 dun. The term eugenics is attributed to Darwin's cousin, Sir Francis Galton, a scientist who claimed a biological rationale for Britain's ruling classes, namely superior genes. This assertion soon, God damn it. Deep breath, learn to read. This assertion soon broadened into a theory of social and economic survival of the fittest, called social Darwinism, or as we refer to it here at the Cynical Libertarian Society, natural selection. Its purported scientific logic reassured elites that some races, especially their darker-skinned colonial subjects, were inferior to others. Now again, let me remind you, because people say, as I have said many, many times, there are inferior and superior people. Sorry, there's no doubt about this. Aristotle talked about it. Some people are natural slaves. There are inferior people. As I've talked about before, the inferior people cannot be distinguished by a particular skin color or how big their nose is or what color their hair is or what religion they are or what gender they are. The inferior people are found in all races, all creeds, all colors, all genders. There is no biological subset of Homo sapiens that is free of stupid people. That is free of inferior people. Now, as I've also said, I think there are two species of Homo sapiens. There's Homo sapiens anarchist, and there's Homo sapiens statist. Right, but the Homo sapiens statist includes black people, yellow people, white people, red people, I don't discriminate, brown people, tranny people, straight people, bi people, asexual people, tall people, short people, right? The inferior people has members from every category you can think of. In America, eugenics became the pretext for legitimized president. Legitimized prejudice, including anti-miscegeneration laws in several states. Oh, you mean the government? The state? You mean democracy? Oh, okay. It spawned organizations such as Kellogg's Race Betterment Foundation, which promoted the improvement of humanity by careful breeding through racial segregation, lest the gene pool be tainted. Of course, remember, all of the segregation we had in the United States and then all of the forced sterilization of black people and all that other stuff was all done by the democratically elected governments. Oh, democracy! Democracy, best fucking thing ever, right? Yeah, democracy! Margaret Sanger's embrace of eugenics involved not so much qualities to be nurtured as those to be eliminated. Her belief that the mentally unfit should be sterilized, conflated with her work to bring conception to minority groups, made Planned Parenthood suspect of racism and even plotting genocide against minorities. These charges still surface, even though such luminaries like Martin Luther King Jr. were among Sanger's supporters. Well, you know, there are some very smart people who supported Adolf Hitler also. Just because Margaret Sanger was supported, whatever that actually means, by MLK Jr., doesn't mean she didn't want to breed black people out of existence. It just means that Martin Luther King Jr. saw some politically expedient reason to support her. Again, there are really smart people who supported Adolf Hitler. Really fucking smart ones. Although she helped secure funding that led to development of the pill and its Puerto Rican field trials, the genocide claim concerned something which she had little direct involvement, a mass sterilization in Puerto Rico that began in the 1930s and never really ended. Oh, I wonder if Puerto Rico's a democracy. I wonder if the government carried out this mass sterilization program. I wonder if there was a government behind that. All right, let's move on because there's more shit to do and I want to get this book out of my life forever. And what was I supposed to read over here? God damn it. Like China's Zhang Zonghu, I totally mutilated this person's name, not intentional, I just don't know how to pronounce Chinese names, now charged with planning how his country will deal with its own aging population. Akiho Matsuni sees these savings helping to finance communal public housing, parks, and cultural facilities that seniors will need. Okay, look, when your population ages, you don't save money. You spend more money because old people need more medical care. And old people will, of course, need retirement funds. And old people will need all of these houses you're talking about building. A reduced but aging population is not going to save money. Apparently, nobody in China is familiar with the concepts of economics. He's heard the scary rhetoric in Europe about how high payroll taxes must soar to meet the pension shortfall if populations fall, and how everyone should pump out more babies lest their economies crumble beneath a mass of unproductive gray-haired retirees. Yes, that's actually, again, in the sort of economy that countries have where retiree benefits are paid by people who are currently working? Yes, that is exactly what's going to happen. I don't understand how stupid people, statists, who think that somehow you're going to get this free money where it doesn't exist. All the money you give to the old people, all the money you redistribute to the old people has to come from someplace. It's being redistributed. That's what that means, right? You take it from one place and you redistribute it to another. You take it from people who have jobs, you redistribute it to people who don't have jobs. If you don't have enough people with jobs, you don't have enough money to redistribute. It's math. I don't understand why this is complicated. In reply, Matsuri reminds people that children too can be considered a burden on society since they don't work and require their own infrastructure. Well, yeah, nobody's... yeah. Smaller populations won't need as many schools or subsidies for public and private universities. The size of government, too, will shrink along with the body politic, all representing savings that can be reallocated where they're needed. Now, maybe in communist China, you could reduce the school system. Smaller populations won't need as many schools. Really? So you're going to, all those teachers, you're going to unemploy them? I don't know if China has a teachers union or not. I think these guys might be, and of course the idea that the size of government is going to shrink. Again, maybe it's communist China, maybe you can get away with that. But I find it hard to believe that the government and the government-controlled school systems in China are going to willingly downsize because there's fewer people. And just here's a bit here. I'm not even going to read it. Basically, the gist is that we can't allow poor people in other countries to have technology because then they're going to destroy the environment and we need to keep them poor. And I want to read this part if I can remember what the fuck it is. This illustrates well. How am I on time? Perfect. I can make this happen. I think this illustrates well, I've talked about this before, this sort of condescending attitude that especially left-wing statists here in the United States have towards, you know, the darkies in the other countries. This, like, I read some time ago the Melinda Gates interview where she's talking about how, you know, how she's done so much to help these people in these other countries, and otherwise they would just be starving to death and dying if it weren't for her. And there's this whole attitude of condescension in the left-wing white folks here in the United States towards black people in other countries, treating them like they're stupid and like they're children and like they're incompetent. When in fact, I mean, okay, they may not be living in skyscrapers, but oddly enough, they've survived for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of fucking years. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. I mean, their ancestors have all been smart enough to stay alive. They're not fucking retarded. Okay? Just because they don't have a fucking iPhone and just because their skin is darker than yours, they're not fucking retarded. They're perfectly capable of surviving. Now I am going to run out of time. So this thing here, it's this white, you know, it's this white guy from the United States, and he's over here and he's showing them birth control. And he was like, I would start out with a box of pills and people would just look at it. Then I'd show an IUD and get blank stares. One day, while showing a condom at a training session for school teachers, without thinking, he unwrapped its foil pouch. Immediately, people started giggling. Ah, I thought. Yes, because, oh, it's a condom. It's so funny. So he unfurled it. Women shrieked. Now he definitely had their attention. Improvising, he He explained that condoms were all-purpose tools that could be used as tourniquets, hairbands, wineskins, waterproof protectors for mobile phones. Then he blew the condom up like a balloon. Oh, it's so funny. I'm not reading anymore. I'm fucking editorializing. And it's just this, oh, look, the little black girls in this country, they're not smart enough to understand birth control. So I'm going to blow a condom up like a balloon and make them all giggle. And now they're going to get it. And then it goes on about how they sold birth control pills in the same stores where the Coca-Cola was at. And oh my God, and they have a cops and rubbers brigade. Oh my goodness. Oh, and it's just so fucking condescending. You know, like, maybe I don't know. I've never been to an African country where, you know, the people live as they have for thousands of years. Maybe they really are too dumb to understand the concepts of birth control, and white people from the United States have to go over there and be condescending to them. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But just as a non-stupid person, just reading this book and reading and hearing all the stories of, you know, Melinda Gates and all these other fucking upper middle class rich white people going over to these countries and blowing condoms up like balloons because the darkies can't possibly be smart enough, if you explain it to them, to understand things like cells and sperm and eggs and fertilization and stuff. I mean, they're just so dumb. They couldn't possibly understand biology if somebody just took the fucking time to explain it to them. It's easier to be condescending. Because after all, when you're a left-wing fucking statist from America, that's how you view the world, as something for you to be condescending towards. I don't have to bother with the other side. I am always right. God, it's good to be me. I didn't even get through everything I had for this episode. Oh. Kind of close, though. Alright. I'll be back. You know I will. The government hasn't killed me yet. I know they want to, with a bullet to the head or by whatever other means would be expedient.